Ever feel like you're juggling a bunch of things in your brain when you're trying to learn something new? Like you've got all those tabs open on your computer and things are just, well, they start to slow down. Today we're diving into a concept called scaffolding. And it's a way to help you close those unnecessary tabs. And you can focus on what really matters. We're going to explore an article called Why We Scaffold from hackscience.education. And we're going to see how this idea can really help you learn anything from new language to a complex skill. So much less overwhelming.
Definitely.
So before we get into all the little details, what exactly is scaffolding when it comes to learning?
Well, think of it like, you know those temporary structures that you see around buildings that are under construction? Those scaffolds provide support until the building is strong enough to stand on its own. Educational scaffolding works in a really similar way. It's about providing the right support at the right time, tailored to you and what you're trying to learn.
Okay, so I'm starting to see the picture here. What's important about scaffolding and learning is that it's not about just like spoon feeding information. You still have to do the work, right?
Precisely, yeah. Scaffolding is not about giving you all the answers. It's much more about guiding you, helping you see the bigger picture, breaking down those complex tasks into smaller steps. You could think of it almost like a roadmap. It helps you navigate that whole learning process.
Got it. So it's almost like if you're going on a hike and you've got a guide with you, someone who can point out the best path and help you over those rough spots. The article actually mentions different types of scaffolding. This is where things get really interesting, is focusing attention, social scaffolding, and cognitive scaffolding. Let's break those down one by one. Let's start with focusing attention.
Okay. So imagine you're learning to cook, like a complicated recipe for the first time. Instead of tackling the whole thing at once, you might just want to focus on one element, like chopping vegetables before moving on to the next step. That's the idea behind focusing attention, breaking things down, zeroing in on one thing at a time.
So it's about prioritizing what you need to learn at each stage rather than just getting bogged down by all the details at once. I like that. The article also mentions demonstrations as a way to focus attention.
Exactly. Seeing someone else perform the skill or task, whether it's cooking that recipe or using a new software program, it can really make a huge difference. It gives you that visual model to follow and helps you grasp that overall process before you dive in yourself.
So we've seen how focusing attention can be really helpful. But what about the support we get from others? That's where social scaffolding comes in, right?
Exactly. Social scaffolding highlights the importance of interaction, whether it's with a teacher, a mentor, or even your peers. It's all about creating a dialogue, asking questions, and getting that guidance you need, not just being handed the answers.
But wouldn't too much scaffolding make learners too dependent on those supports? How do you find that balance?
That's a great question. It is a balancing act for sure. The goal is to provide enough support to help you succeed, but not so much that you become reliant on it. And when it comes to learning from peers, it's important to have those really clear guidelines in place so that everyone's on the same page. And learning the correct information, think of it like having rules for a group project. It helps everyone stay focused and productive.
That makes sense. So we've covered focusing attention. We've covered social scaffolding. Now, what about cognitive scaffolding? What does that entail?
Well, think of your brain like a computer. Too many tabs open. And things slow down. Cognitive scaffolding is about helping you close those unnecessary tabs so you can focus on what's really important. It uses tools and strategies that support your thinking process and helps you manage that mental load.
Okay. So it's like decluttering your mental workspace. The article mentions things like flowcharts and rubrics as cognitive scaffolding tools. Can you give us some examples of how those might work?
Absolutely. Imagine you're learning a new software program. A flowchart can be like a cheat sheet, showing you the essential clicks and commands, and that can make it much easier to grasp the program's logic. And rubrics, those lists of criteria you might see in school, can help break down complex tasks and expectations into smaller, more manageable chunks.
So cognitive scaffolding is all about providing those mental tools that can help you organize information, make connections, and avoid feeling overwhelmed.
Precisely. These tools help you focus on the essential elements of a task or concept, and that just makes the whole learning process much smoother and more efficient.
Okay, so.
Welcome back to our deep dive on scaffolding. You know, we've been talking about how this approach can help us learn more effectively by just providing the right support at the right time, but it's more than just making learning easier,
Yeah,
remember?
that's what I'm really curious about. What are some of those deeper benefits? Does it actually help you understand things better? Or is it more about just like getting through the material quicker?
It's definitely not just about speed. Scaffolding can really help you develop a much deeper understanding of what you're learning. You know, think of it this way. When you're presented with like a new concept, you need a way to connect it to something you already know. Scaffolding kind of provides those connections. It helps you integrate that new information
Yeah.
into your existing mental framework.
So instead of just memorizing facts, scaffolding helps you see how all those facts fit into that bigger picture. That makes a lot of sense.
Right.
But doesn't everyone learn a little bit differently? How can scaffolding be effective for everyone?
Well, that's where the art of scaffolding really comes in. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach. It really requires an understanding of the learner, their strengths,
Yeah.
and their challenges. And it also means being flexible and adaptable, you know, adjusting that level of support as needed.
So it's like a dance between the learner and the teacher or mentor. Find that right rhythm and flow together. Speaking of different learning environments, can you give us some concrete examples of how scaffolding is used in the real world?
Absolutely. Let's start with the classroom. Teachers use scaffolding all the time, even if they don't actually call it that. Think about graphic organizers. Those visual tools like concept maps or flow charts, they can help students organize information, make connections, see the relationships between ideas.
Right, we talked about flow charts earlier. I can definitely see how those would be helpful for visual learners. Are there other examples of scaffolding that are used in the classroom?
Think about when a teacher models how to solve a math problem, explaining each step of their thinking process. That's scaffolding in action by making their thought process visible. Teachers help students understand the strategies and the reasoning behind problem solving.
It's like giving students a sneak peek into that expert's brain. I can see how that would be so valuable, especially for subjects like math or science, where those steps are so important.
And scaffolding isn't just for kids in school. It's incredibly useful in workplace settings as well. Think about onboarding a new employee. Instead of just throwing a bunch of information at them all at once, you might want to provide them with step-by-step guides, checklists, or even a mentor to help them get up to speed.
That makes so much sense. I remember starting my first job. It felt like I was drinking from a fire hose. Scaffolding would make that transition so much smoother.
Exactly. And it's not just about onboarding. Scaffolding can be used for ongoing professional development too. Imagine you're learning a new software program for work. Your company might offer training sessions, online tutorials, or even a dedicated support team to help you master that program.
It's all about creating that supportive environment
Yeah.
where people feel comfortable asking questions and getting that guidance they need to really succeed. So we've seen how scaffolding can be used in classrooms. We've seen how it's used in workplaces. What about for personal learning goals?
Scaffolding can be a game changer for personal learning as well. Let's say you're trying to learn a new language. You could use a language learning app that breaks down grammar rules into bite-sized lessons and provides those opportunities for practice. Or you might join a language exchange group where you can get that feedback and support from other learners.
I love that. So whether you're learning a new language, picking up a musical instrument, or even just trying to improve your cooking skills, scaffolding can help you make progress and stay motivated.
Absolutely. The key is to be intentional about how you use it. Break down your learning goals into smaller steps. Seek out resources that provide the right kind of support. And don't be afraid to ask for help when you need it.
This is all making so much sense. Scaffolding really is such a powerful tool for learning, no matter what you're trying to achieve.
It really is. And the best part is, scaffolding isn't just about learning specific skills or information. It can also help you develop those valuable metacognitive skills.
Wait, meta what? I'm intrigued. What are metacognitive skills, and how does scaffolding play into that?
Metacognition is all about understanding your own learning process, knowing your strengths, your weaknesses, and just how you learn best. And scaffolding can actually help you develop those skills.
Okay, I'm really curious now. How does scaffolding help with that?
Well, when you're using scaffolding techniques, you're essentially becoming more aware of the steps involved in learning and the different types of support that can help you along the way. You know, you start to recognize when you might need a little bit more guidance, when you can push yourself further, and what strategies work best for you.
So it's like scaffolding is not only supporting you in that learning process itself, but it's also teaching you how to become a more effective learner overall. That's pretty amazing.
Exactly. It helps you take ownership of your learning and develop those all-important metacognitive skills, which will benefit you in any learning endeavor you take on.
This has been such an eye-opening exploration of scaffolding. We've covered a lot of ground. From those basic principles
Yeah.
to the practical applications to its impact on developing those metacognitive skills. But I feel like there's still so much more to unpack.
You're right, there is. In our final part of our deep dive, we'll explore some of the challenges involved in implementing scaffolding effectively. We'll also talk about how to create your own scaffolds and seek out those learning environments that can provide the right kind of support.
Welcome back to the deep dive. We've been on quite a journey exploring this concept of scaffolding. And honestly, I'm feeling pretty inspired. It's like we've unlocked this secret code to learning.
Yeah, it is a really powerful tool. But like any tool, it's important to know how to use it effectively. There are some potential pitfalls to watch out for.
Okay, let's talk about those. What are some of the challenges in actually implementing scaffolding the right way?
Well, one of the biggest challenges is finding that sweet spot between providing too much support and not enough. If the scaffolding is too heavy-handed, it can actually stifle the learner's independence and prevent them from developing their own problem-solving skills.
It's like what Jilks is, those training wheels on a bike.
Yeah.
If you keep them on for too long, the child never learns to balance on their own.
Exactly. But then on the flip side, if you remove the scaffolding too soon, learners can feel lost and overwhelmed, which can lead to frustration and a lack of progress.
It's a delicate balancing act, for sure. You need to provide enough support to build that confidence, but also enough challenge to encourage growth.
Precisely. And that's why it's so important to be attentive and responsive to the learner's needs. You know, scaffolding isn't a one-size-fits-all approach. It requires that ongoing assessment
and adjustment. Being a gardener, you need to provide the right amount of water and sunlight for each plant to really thrive.
I like that analogy. And just like a gardener, needs to be aware of the different needs of each plant. Educators and trainers need to be really sensitive to those individual learning styles and paces of their students.
Makes sense. So it's not just about providing the support. It's about providing the right support at the right time.
Mm.
But how do you know when it's time to actually start removing that scaffolding?
That's where observation and communication are key. You need to pay really close attention to how the learner is progressing. Ask them for feedback and just look for those signs that they're ready to take on more responsibility.
So it's about gradually releasing that control and empowering the learner to become more independent. This has been such a fascinating conversation. I feel like I have a much deeper understanding of scaffolding now. But I'm wondering, are there specific things our listeners can do to incorporate scaffolding into their own learning journeys?
Absolutely. One of the best things you can do is to become more aware of your own learning process. Think about what strategies have worked well for you in the past. What kinds of support do you find most helpful? And what tends to trip you up?
So it's about tapping into that metacognition we talked about earlier, really understanding your strengths and weaknesses as a learner.
Exactly. And once you have a better sense of your own learning style, you can start to seek out those resources and create your own scaffolds. This might involve finding a mentor, joining a study group, or using online learning platforms that offer that personalized support.
And if you're trying to create scaffolding for others, what are some key things to keep in mind?
The most important thing is to start with a really clear understanding of those learning objectives. What do you want the learner to be able to do? Or understand by the end of that experience, once you have that clear goal in mind, you can start to design the scaffolds that will support that goal.
So it's like building a house. You need a blueprint before you can start laying the foundation. And speaking of foundations, it seems like clear communication and feedback are essential elements of effective scaffolding.
Absolutely. It's not just about providing the support. It's about creating that learning environment where learners feel comfortable asking questions, making mistakes, and seeking help when they need it.
It's about fostering that sense of trust and collaboration rather than just a top-down approach.
Exactly. And remember, scaffolding is a dynamic process. It's about continually assessing, adjusting, and adapting to the learner's needs. As the learner progresses, the scaffolding should gradually fade away, allowing them to become more independent and self-directed.
It's like those temporary supports that are removed once a building is strong enough to stand on its own. This has been such an insightful deep dive into the world of scaffolding. I feel like I have a whole new perspective on learning and a toolkit for making it more effective and enjoyable.
Me too. It's been a pleasure exploring this topic with you.
And to our listeners, we hope this deep dive has sparked some new ideas about how you can approach learning in your own lives. Whether you're tackling a new skill, exploring a complex topic, or simply seeking to deepen your understanding of the world around you, remember the power of scaffolding. It's a tool that can help you reach new heights and unlock your full potential as a learner. Happy learning, everyone.